Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erev in Daf Tzadi Beis, and we're learning today Lila Nishmas Max Atnasasser. The shul's Daf Yomi program is named after Max Atnasasser, Olav Shalom, Moshe Chaim, Ben Echaver Shmuel. All the neshamas we learn for should have an aliyah. We begin in Tzadi Beis Omer Aleph, about 10-15 lines down from the top with the word Itmar. It's right next to the Tosos Ikud Yamre. And the Gemara begins, and it tells us, Itmar, we learned, Shtei Chatzeros V'chur Ba'achas B'neim. If you have two Chatzeros, and they have a ruin in between them, you can see a picture of this in the bottom of the art scroll, footnote number 11, in the diagram there, in the Perish Chai on page 200, diagram number 42, and in the Illustrated Gemara, page 108, diagram number 324. And in this Chorva, which by definition nobody lives there, you have a question as to who has access to this space. You have, again, the chotzer on the right. You have the chotzer on the left of this chorva. So who has access to use this chorva on Shabbos? They did not make an Erev Chatzeros between the two of them. So therefore, each one made their own Erev Chatzeros, or at least that's one possibility, or they didn't make any Erev Chatzeros at all. So shtei chatzeros v'chur b'achas b'neim. You have these two chatzeros, and you have this destroyed house in between them. So in the scenario that we're going to discuss, one side, achas irva, v'achas lo irva. Let's say the chatzer on the right made an eruv, chatzeros, and the chatzer on the left did not make an eruv chatzeros. Again, there are multiple houses there in this chatzer, and they on the right made an eruv chatzeros, so they can carry within their chatzer from the houses to the chatzer to the houses, no problem. But on the left, for example, where there are multiple houses over there, they did not make an eruv chatzeros. So therefore, they cannot carry from their houses to the chatzer, from the chatzer to the houses. Now, what is the halachic status of this churva? Can you carry from the chotzer into the churva or not? Vice versa. On Rav Huna, Rav Huna tells us, Nos din osan lezu shlo irva. We give the churva rights to the left side of the chotzer, the one that did not make the eruv in my example. We give it to the chotzer that did not make an eruv. Aval l'she irva lo, but not to the one that made an eruv. What's the reasoning? So this is very analogous to what we said yesterday, that Rav's shita was that Rabbi Shimon only considers the Gagim, the Karpifos, and the Chatzeros to be one entity. Remind ourselves from yesterday, Rav had said, only Shelo Irvu, when there is no concern that you'll bring something from the house into your Eruv Chatzeros Chotzer, and then you'll have different Kalim there, those Kalim that were Shavas before Shabbos, that you can carry from the Gag to another Gag, to a Chotzer, to another Chotzer, to a Karpav, to another Karpav, and back and forth with no problem, because they all were there before Shabbos started, and it's considered one entity, according to Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi Shimon had said, if you made an Erev, according to Rav, this was a machlokas we had between Rav and Shmuel versus and Rabbi Yochanan, Rav was against both of those two. Rav had said that Rabbi Shimon's opinion was that if they made an Erev, so now you can have Kalim that could be brought from the house on Shabbos, out to the courtyard, and you can have some kalim there, the A kalim, I called them yesterday, that were out there in the courtyard before, and they can be moved all over the place, and the B kalim that were from the house, they can't be moved all over the place, they have to stay in that chotzer, and it's going to be confusing. You're going to have some kalim that you can move around, and some kalim you can't move around, so therefore Rav said, the Rabbi Shimon said, when you have an Erev, you lose the right to move them all around, because of this concern that Shema, you may come to go and move the kalim that were from the house all around in the chotzers and the gagos, the kapifos, which you're not allowed to do. So similarly over here, Rav Huna says that we give the churva to the side that didn't make the eruv, but not to the side that made the eruv, because dumo ose la fuke mani, because we're concerned that you may come to go and carry your items from the house, the batim, l'churva, from the house into the churva. And therefore, you're going to again have two sets of categories of kalim, those that you're allowed to carry into the churva, and those that you're not allowed to carry into the churva. So therefore, Reb Chia holds that Rabbi Shimon's opinion here, according to Rav, is that you wouldn't be allowed to have the side that made the Erev use the Chorva, and therefore you give it to the other side, because the other side has no problem. They're not taking anything out from the house. They don't have an Erev Chatzeros. So it's only going to be Kalim Sheshavas, and the Kalim Sheshavas will give them the Chorva as well, because it's all one entity. The Gagim, the Karpifos, the Chatzeros, and the Chorva are all one entity. You can move stuff back and forth with impunity. And the side that made the Erev Chatzeros, they cannot, because of this Gezerah. Dilma osi lafuke mani mi bate lechurva. But we have a different opinion. V'chia bar Rav, Rav's son, Chia, he said, V'chia bar Rav, Amar, he named his son after his great uncle, Rabbi Chia. And Chia bar Rav, Amar, he said, no, af l'she erva. We consider both sides here to be the same. Av, you can also have the side that made the Erev have rights in the churva, and therefore there's two possibilities. Either shteyem mutaros, which will be the second version that we're going to bring down, but in the first version that we're going to bring down, we say ushteyem asuros. Chiya Barav says that since the side that made the Eruv Chatzeros, in my example, the right side, so they made an Eruv Chatzeros, so they're going to ruin it for the left side because of this concern, Dilma, that maybe you're going to come and osi lafuki mani debatim l'churva. So therefore, since they have the right to the churva area, they're going to ruin it for everybody. This is the classical case that you can't use this area because of a concern that people will carry inappropriately. Just like if the right side may carry inappropriately, we're concerned that the left side may come to do the same thing as well. And therefore, Chiya Barav in the first version says, Shteyen asuros. The Gemara now questions this. We'll have a second version where he says shteyen mutaros. We'll get to that in a moment. The first version is shteyen asuros. Both sides aren't allowed. Why? Because im tomar shteyen mutaros. If you want to tell me it's going to be the answer like the second version is going to say in a moment, if you want to tell me that Rav's opinion in this situation is in fact that both of them mutaros, both of them have the rights to the churva, and both of them can carry from the chatzer into the churva, from the churva into the chatzer. So then, if this were true, then why didn't we say this in yesterday's shir? Mipnei ma einosim chatzer shelo irva lechatzer sheirva. And Tosa says you can learn it the other way as well. It means the same thing. Mipnei ma einosim chatzer sheirva lechatzer sheinu irva. What do we mean? So the understanding here is in yesterday's shir we had when you had just the regular case of Rabbi Shimon, with a chatzer on the right and a chatzer on the left, and they want to transfer from one chatzer to the other. So we said, according to Rav, that they're allowed to transfer back and forth, no problem from the chatzer, with kelim sheshavsu b'chatzer before Shabbos. Anything that was in the chatzer before Shabbos can be transferred through all the chatzeros, all the gags, all the karpifos. We said it's not a problem, as long as shelo ervu. But Rav had held, if she'ervu, then they're not allowed to do this. Now, what did it mean, she'ervu? Did it mean that all of them made an Erev, or only some of them? From the fact that we didn't make any distinction between all of them making an Erev and some of them making an Erev, it means that even if one of them made an Erev and the other one did not, you still can't carry. Ah, so he wants to say, if you're going to tell me Shteyem Mutaros, then why didn't we give that example in yesterday's Shia? Why didn't we say that Rav was only saying it if all of them made Erev Chatzeros, but if some of them did and some of them didn't, so then you should have given that example. For the fact that we didn't give that example, it means that as long as one made an Erev, all of them are Osir. Shteyem Asuros. That's the teretz the Chiya Barav wants to give to explain why he says Shteyem Asuros. However, the Gemara says that's not correct. No, also, I mean, yesterday, Shir, when you're dealing with two Chatzeros, and one made an Erev and one didn't make an Erev, you could say, no, that's different than our case with the Churva. When you have two chatzeros over here, one made an Erev, one didn't make an Erev, it makes sense to say that people are bringing stuff from their house, and if we allow them to bring it from their house into the chatzer, because they have an Erev chatzeros, they're going to bring it into the other chatzer. That makes very good sense, because they're both protected. Chatzeros are protected areas. They're enclosed areas that are protected. They don't have free access to all the people in the world. It's only the people that live in that chatzer that have the right to that. So, kivan de minteri, mani debatim b'chotzer, since the houses that are bringing stuff out on the side that has an Erev Chatzeros, they're bringing it to the chotzer because it's protected. So in the other chotzer, they're also protected. Also lafuke, they'll come and bring it into the other chotzer as well, because it's equally protected, and that's going to lead to a problem. And that's why in yesterday's shir, we didn't allow it, because no matter what, you have a problem here, because these are protected areas. But today, hocha b'churba, the churba, that's a ruin. It's not a protected area, it's a destroyed area. Who knows what vagabonds and vagrants and other people are going to go into that ruin. So therefore, when you're dealing in today's case, Hacha B'churva, Kivin lo mintere mani d'chotzer b'churva, lo osi lafuke. Since nobody's going to want to put their utensils, their kalim, into this churva because it's not safe. So therefore, we don't have to be concerned that if the side that has an Erev Chatzeros brings out kalim, it's going to lead the other side to also carry from their kalim there and bring them all over the place. There's no concern. And therefore, the side that didn't make an Erev Chatzeros, we give them the churva, because there's no concern. They'll bring anything out from their house. They can't. There's no Erev Chatzeros. And the other side, what are we concerned? They're going to bring it into the churva. We're not concerned they're going to bring it into the churva. So you're not going to have this problem of the A-type utensils that can be moved and the B-type utensils that can't be moved. There's no concern for that. And that's why maybe in this situation, we aren't making a gzera, and therefore Chiya Barav is wrong to say Shteyen Asuros. Ika di Amri, the exact opposite. The Gemara says, Ika di Amri, that Chiya Barav said, or Chiya Barav Omar, No, Aflisha Erva, we say that you give it the churva to both sides, and in fact, Ushtein Mutaris, and both sides get to use it. Not that both sides now can't use it, like the first version, because the second side, the side that has the Erev Chatzeros is going to ruin it for the second side that doesn't have the Erev Chatzeros. No, here, even though both sides, the Erev side as well as the non-Erev side, have access to the churva, neither side ruins it for the other, Ushtein Mutaros. And why is that? So Chiya Barav says, because if you want to tell me, you didn't tell me Ushtein Masuros, if you want to tell me yesterday's Shia, that why didn't we give this type of an answer, Lefisha Nostim Chotzer Shlo Irva L'Chotzer She'irva, why didn't, it's the exact opposite of the first version. So now Chiya Barav is using this as a proof. If you want to say, why didn't we say this in yesterday's Shia, if this is correct, it's Shtein Mutaros, we should have said it in yesterday's Shia, and it should have been in that situation as well. Even in She'irva, one Chotzer, it should have been Mutaros. So Mar says, no, again, Hasam, it's different. Kivan de Mintre Mani de Batim B'Chotzer, since, in fact, all the utensils are safe, whether in the chotzer that they made the Erev Chatzeros with or in the chotzer that they didn't make an Erev Chatzeros with, you have to be concerned. Lo Sharbu Rabbanim, Dos Lafuke. We have to be concerned that you're going to carry the utensils that aren't allowed to be carried to the other chotzer into the other chotzer because it's safe over there. So you're not going to have an automatic reason not to do this. So that's why we didn't mention this in yesterday's shir. However, Abo Bechurba Lo Mintre. Here he gives the teretz that we gave before. This is a churva. And in a churva, you're not going to necessarily have any concerns because nobody's going to want to put their utensils in the churva. So we have these two versions of Chiya Barav. Both of them seem to suggest, ultimately, the first version schlugged up that saying the Shteya Masuros, and the second version seemed to be a proof that Shteya Mutaros seems to be the way that Chiya Barav learns Rav's Shita in this Gemara. Now we go to the next Mishnah. And you can see diagrams of this Mishnah. You'll see this in the art scroll in footnote number 25 in the diagram over there, and you'll see this in the Pirush Chai, page 200, in diagram number 43, and eventually we'll go to diagram number 44, and you'll see this in the Illustrated Gemara in diagram number 325 on page 109. And the scenario is as follows. Gag Godol Somach L'Katan. We've had this previously in the Masechta as well. You can see we had this on Dav Ches. There's slightly different girsas on the side. It brings down that there will be slightly different girsas over here than we had on Dav Ches and Dav Tes. So we'll just keep the girsa that we have, and I'll point out the change in the girsa that the Rush has. In any event, Gag Godol Somach L'Katan. You have a rooftop. This is actually diagram number 22. In the art scroll footnote. So the gag that is a larger gag is next to, adjacent to, physically attached to a smaller gag. And as you can see, there's overlap. When you're going from the smaller gag into the larger gag, you're going to have, as you go into the larger gag, you're going to have a more expansive area. You're going to have room to the right and to the left. And those are called the gifufe. Remember we had that previously, that those are the additional parts of the wall that are present from the large gag's point of view, but not present from the small gag's point of view. From the small gag's point of view, you just look straight ahead. You don't see those gifufe. From the large gag's point of view, when you're looking into the small gag, you see, hey, we got a wall to the right and we got a wall to the left because there's additional space there. So in this scenario, we have a gag gadol that's somach l'katan. So hagadol mutter, the large gag is allowed to carry because it's essentially an enclosed area because of these gifufe. Even though in this situation we don't have a physical mechitza there, this is going to apply good osik in this situation because you can see down, and everybody would agree, even Rav would agree in this situation, that good osik because you have the walls going down and there is clearly a demarcation there and they go up as well. So hagodol mutter, the larger one can go and carry back and forth to the house below them. It's considered an enclosed area. They made an Erev Chatzeros, so it's perfectly good. Or if it's an individual person, it's perfectly good. Vakartanoser, however, in the smaller gag, so the people from the house, assuming it's one house, so they don't need to make an Erev Chatzeros. I said before an Erev Chatzeros, but we're dealing with one house, so you don't really need an Erev Chatzeros. It's one individual. So you have one house over here, but people can't carry from the house into the rooftop area because the rooftop area is not considered theirs anymore. It's considered belonging to the upper roof because they are an area that's prutsa bimaloa. They're totally breached on one side, so they're only a three-sided area, and therefore they can't carry there. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah, the girsa that we have is chotzer gedola shenifrasel kitana. You have the large area on the chotzer. Here's we have the diagram number 25 in the footnotes, the diagram that's in that footnote. And here you have a large chatzer. So here you're dealing with a chatzer that has real mechitzos. You're not dealing with good osik. And nivritzol ktana, and it's breached into the small one. The Rosh has the gear, so that it's ktana shenivritzol gdola. Again, same thing, no difference in the actual outcome. So you have a breach between the small and large chatzer. The breach takes up the entire wall of the smaller chatzer, the ktana, and therefore, from the ktana's point of view, it's prutza bimloa, it's totally breached on one side, so it's only a three-sided chatzer. Again, from the larger chatzer's point of view, you have the gifufa, you have the sides that aren't breached, it's only breached full flush into the smaller courtyard, but in fact, the sides are an enclosure, and this breach is less than 10 amos long, so therefore it's not considered that one is breached into the other. It's like a Pesach, and therefore, Gedolim Uteris, the larger courtyard and all the houses that are attached to it, here you would need an Eruv Chatzeros, they are allowed to carry from their houses into the larger courtyard, and Tana Asura, but the smaller courtyard, even though they made an Eruv Chatzeros, can't carry here because it's Prutza Bimloa to the larger courtyard. Tana Asura, because the smaller courtyard is essentially an opening for the larger courtyard. And therefore, the smaller courtyard becomes subordinate and subsumed by the larger courtyard. So the larger courtyard is fine, the smaller courtyard is not fine, even though they made an Erev Chatzeros. Now, we had two cases in the Mishnah. We had case number one, which was the Gag Gadol next to a Gag Katan, they're adjacent, attached, and then you had a Chatzer Gdola, in case number two in the Mishnah, Shenifritzel Ktana, attached to a smaller courtyard, and in both cases, it was the exact same scenario. It was Prutzo Bimloa, it was totally breached from the smaller, either rooftop, or from the courtyard, and therefore, why do we need two cases? That's what the Gemara starts off and asks, Loma Le Lemisne Tarti, why the two cases over here? It's the same exact scenario. Once I got the first case, I would understand the second case. Vice versa. Once you gave me the second case, I would understand the first case. So Gemara says, no, it's not so clear. L'Rav, according to Rav, who says that we only apply good osik if it's mechitzos that are nikaros, so you have to tell me, Tani Gag, Dumi de Chotzer. He has to teach us over here that Ma Chotzer, Minkro Mechitzosa, Af Gag, Minkro Mechitzosa. In this situation, you do apply good osik, so that's the chiddush. And you wouldn't know that necessarily until you saw that it juxtaposed the two cases. So it's teaching me that the first case is like the second case. In what way is the first case like the second case? Ah, in this principle of good osik, that we do say over here, good osik for the gefufe, and therefore, even Rav, who doesn't normally hold good osik, if it doesn't have mechitzos nikaros, so over here, these are minkara. These are, in fact, recognizable, and therefore, ma chotzer minkara, Avgag minkara, so therefore the mechitzos are considered recognizable. As Rashi says, Sharei Yeshlein mechitzos, the chotzer certainly has physical mechitzos, so to Avgag, Nihi Nami, the Sharinan lebe mechitzos tachtonos, Mishum God Osik, that even Rav over here would say that since you can see down, they're recognizable going down, therefore they're halachically considered recognizable going up. Mihu mechitzos nikaros beinan shlo yegag bolet chutzlehem. But if the rooftop went over this area, then it would not be good. The lo minkra, if it's not recognizable, let's say you had an extension of the roof, an overhang or an awning or something over that, then it wouldn't be good. Lo amrin and good osik. And therefore, in that situation, the godol nami would be osir dein lo shum mechitza. You wouldn't apply good osik in that situation. And therefore, Rashi says here the kol she'ein lo mechitzos. Ain Rishus HaYochid, it wouldn't be a good Rishus HaYochid, and Kol Gagin Shalem Chalokin Hayu Velo Mushufan. And again, Rashi reminds us that their rooftops were all flat, not like our rooftops, which we call the Arzila, that they're slanted like our roofs today. In that situation, the rooftops were flat. So that's why Rav needs both cases. Why does Shmuel need both cases? Shmuel applies the principle of good osik even when the mechitzos aren't minkara. He says, even though they're all adjacent roofs, and you can't see the walls going down, you would apply still the principle of good osik. So why does he need both cases? Rav, we understand, he needs to teach us this principle of good osik in this selected scenario. But Shmuel doesn't need to teach us this because he holds it applies in all scenarios. So according to Shmuel, why do you need two sections of the Mishnah, the Reisha and the Seifa? Well, Shmuel, you need it over here to teach me Gag, do me the Chotzer. Now, that there are similarities, again, between case one, the Gag case, and case two, the Chotzer case. Why? You need to teach us the following. Machotzer, just like in the Chotzer case number two, the Kodarsi Larabim, when people walk through it, so it ruins it. Afgag nami de kodarsi le'rabim. So too, if people walk through on the top, it would ruin it as well. This machitz on the bottom, Rashi says, according to Shmuel, as I said, he holds good osik no matter what, so he doesn't need the distinction between the race and the savior to teach me good osik. So he needs it lohachi tenoi. He needs the two cases for the following. Gabi hadadi, they have to be listed over here together. The machotzer, the dorsu le'rabim on the bottom. If this chotzer has people going from one into the other, so too it ruins it. Afgag by the gag. Hi, diktani cotton osur mishum the dorsi rabin. The rabin transferring, going through on a regular basis between the smaller courtyard to the larger courtyard, ruin it for the smaller courtyard. Mizel zeh, it ruins it. The havali mechitza tachtoni shebeneim mechitza nidresses. Because if people are going from the smaller courtyard into the larger courtyard, so they're ruining it. Velo motzis lemei gad v'yasuka. And then in that situation, you can't say good osik. Avoli lo dorse bahen, but if people don't go through on the bottom, so af katan shari, then the bottom one is considered good. Then the top one will be considered good as well. That means good osik. The tafsik hamachitza b'neim, and this imaginary halachic machitza does work. The afagav the machasya lo minkra, and even though it is not recognizable, so that's why you need the Reisha and the Seif, according to Shmuel, to teach us this principle of dorse le rabin. If people are walking through it, it ruins the machitza. And if people aren't walking through it, then it's a good mechitza. That's why you need the gag next to the chotzer to teach us this principle. Now the Gemara has an interesting scenario. Yosef, Rabba, these three Amoraim, Rabba, the Rabbi Zeira, the Rabba Bar Rav Chanan, they're all sitting together learning. V'sev Abaye Gabayu, and Abaye is also sitting there amongst them. Now, the three Amoraim were learning the following. V'yosef Karmer, they were sitting and learning, and they said the following. Shmami Meminas Nisan, you can learn from our Mishnah the following halacha. Diore gidola b'ktana, v'ein diore kitana b'gdola. Halachically, we give the people in the larger, either gag or chotzer, so let's say the chotzer, we give the people who are living in the larger chotzer the rights to use the smaller chotzer, to actually carry into the smaller chotzer, and we do not allow the people in the smaller courtyard to go and use the larger courtyard. As Rashi says, Rashi actually has the girsa, the Yurei Gedola Moshlin B'Ktana, they rule over the Ktana, U'Moshlin Oson Etzlan, and they halachically bring it over to them. It's subsumed within the confines of the larger courtyard. The Ein Yurei Ktana Moshlin B'Gedola L'Moshlin Etzlan, but the people living in the smaller courtyard don't do the same thing for the larger courtyard. Why is that? Because as we said, we'll see in the Gemara, the smaller courtyard is considered a Pesach, and it's the entire courtyard that is considered this Pesach, and therefore the smaller courtyard is considered subsumed into the larger courtyard. As Rabbeinu Chananel says over here in two lines from the bottom, Klomar, Kol Hador B'Gedola, anybody living in the larger courtyard, Ki'ilu B'Ktana Hudor, it's as if he's also living in the Ktana. Shaktana Michlola Shel Gedola Hi, the Kitana is subsumed within the larger courtyard. The Ein Diurim Kitana Kashuvi Michlal Dira Hagidola. But the people in the smaller courtyard are not considered that they can use the larger courtyard. Therefore, Achshav, we're going to now give, the Rabbeinu Chananel says, all the five cases that we're going to have in the Gemara to show you the nafkamina as to what this means. So, Ketzad, what are the nafkaminas between the idea that the larger courtyard subsumes the smaller courtyard, but the smaller courtyard doesn't have rights in the larger courtyard? So we'll give five examples. The first one is, if you have a din of kilaya kerem, you're not allowed to plant a vineyard with certain vegetables inside the vineyard mid the araisa. So if you do this, so then you're over the issur araisa of kilaya. So there has to be normally a separation between the vine and the vegetables. It has to be dalet amos. In this situation, however, because we're viewing the Kitana as being a Pesach, there's a Mechitza there, and it's an opening from the larger one into the smaller one. That's its opening. So if you have Gifanim B'Gedola, if you have vines, you have grape vines in the larger Chotzer, so also Lizroa Sekitana, you're not allowed to go and plant the vegetables in the smaller courtyard. In this situation, it would be Kilaya Kerem. Why is that? Because Rashi explains the Kiman, the heavy Kitana, Kula, Bisoch, Gedola Domi. Because we view the Kitana as if it's within the Gedola. And therefore, Even if you separate more than four amos and plant these vegetables more than four amos away from the vines, here it's forbidden to do this. Even though in the Gedola, Rashi points out, if you're all within the Gedola and you separate it, then you'd be allowed to go plant the vegetables four amos away from the vines. But here, even though the vines are more than four amos away from the Zriya area, the area that you're planting the vegetables in the smaller courtyard, it is still forbidden to do so. Because in our Mishnah we said, Mimneshi Kipischa Shel Gedola, the entire small courtyard is considered, so to say, right next to the larger courtyard. It's a Pesach with the larger courtyard. Amakula Kichad Pesach Mashvala. So the whole entity of the smaller courtyard is considered a Pesach, and it's right adjacent to the vines. And therefore, in this situation, it's considered within Dalet Amos, even if it's further than Dalet Amos away. So, again, back to the Gemara. Gifanim b'gedola asur lizra sektana. If you have the vines in the larger one, you can't plant in the smaller one. However, if it was the other way around, Gemara would say on the open base that that's allowed. But let's finish off this case first. So he says, if in fact you have the gifanim and the gedola and you planted vegetables in the ketana, it ruins it. V'im zara, if in fact you did this, the zorim are asurin. The vegetables that you planted are forbidden for usage because of the kilaya kerim. However, gifanim mutarim, we turn to the omid beis, the Rashi is over here still on the bottom of the omid aleph, and Rashi says, the ha'ein direi ketana, moshe l'migdola, because the people of the ketana, when they planted their zroim over there, so even though they're the ones that planted it, they can't ruin it for the vines that are in the gedola. So from the gedola's point of view, they ruin the vegetables that are planted in the ketana. But if the ketana planted vegetables, it doesn't ruin the vines in the gedola. And Rashi explains the reason for this is because it is considered a mechitza. Even if you plant something right next to each other, afilu samuch l'gufanim mutl zroes hagedola l'chatchila, if there's a mechitz over there. And he brings down the Gemara in Bava Basra that teaches us this. So that's the first scenario. You have the vines in the larger one, you have the vegetables in the smaller one, the vines ruin the vegetables, but the vegetables don't ruin the vines. Again, because of the principle that the vines are in the larger one, they're blocked from the vegetables in the smaller one from the point of view of saving the vines. However, you're not allowed to plant the vegetables there because it's considered always within Dalet Amos of the vines, because the entire smaller courtyard is considered like a Pesach, and therefore it's all considered one entity. It's all within Dalet Amos of the vines. The reverse case, Gifanim Biktana, let's say you had the vines planted in the smaller courtyard, then Mutal Lizra Zigdola, the people in the larger one, are allowed to Lechatchila go plant because you have a Mechitza in between them. And therefore, when you have the Mechitza, you can plant right next to the Mechitza. We don't consider the vine to be a problem. If the vine is in the smaller courtyard, the people in the larger courtyard can plant the vegetables to their heart's content. This is Nafka Mina number one. Nafka Mina number two, if you have Isha Bigdola, you have a woman standing situated in the larger courtyard, and the husband Nebuch is giving her a get, the get biktana, and the husband gives the get to the woman, and he puts the get in the ketana, in the smaller courtyard. Rashi explains, Omedis bigdolo, the woman is standing in the larger courtyard, the zorak lo bala get l'toch ketana, and the husband throws the get into the ketana. When it goes, and again, it's given, it goes into the woman's possession, so that's when she becomes divorced, when it she accepts, so to say, the get by being in her property. That's when she becomes divorced. Now, Rashi says, Ushteyem Shalah. She owns the gedola and she owns the ketana. Others say, V'ikal man diyomah b'mesechas gittin, d'ho d'tnan ha-zorek get li'ishto v'hi b'soch beisa o b'soch chatzera harezu mugureshes. So it implies, dafka omedes l'socha b'osashah, that Rashi says, at least according to one version, she has to actually be standing there. I will ena omedes l'socha b'osashah lo. According to that version, if she's not there in the larger one, it's no good. The Alpha God the Shalohi, even though it's hers. Tosus has a different approach. He says, no, it could even be if she's not there. We'll just learn simple like Rashi. So you have over here, Isha Begdol Veget Biktana, so she is considered Miskareshes because the smaller courtyard is considered subsumed into the larger courtyard. And she's standing in the larger courtyard. It's as if she's standing in the smaller courtyard as well, and therefore it's a good get. However, Isha Biktana, if the woman is in the smaller courtyard and the husband throws her to get into the larger courtyard, Veget Bigdola, ain't no Miskareshes, and she wouldn't be Miskareshes in this situation. Because As Rashi says, Sharehi ka'omedes biktana. She's standing in the smaller courtyard. Diktula ktana basik dola shaycha. That's the explanation for why the first case it's good, because we view her as if she's standing in the smaller courtyard. According to Rashi, she has to be there. So that's why in the first case she's miscareshes. But in the second case, ain't a miscareshes, because when she's standing in the smaller courtyard, we can't view her as if she's standing in the larger courtyard. The gdola lav basuk tana ozla. The get, therefore, lo koni leisha. In this situation, she's standing in the smaller courtyard, and the husband throws the get into the larger courtyard. She's not halachically viewed as standing in the larger courtyard. And Rashi's learning it that she has to be in that courtyard. The name monash the isha basuk get, that the woman should be considered going after the get, the isha lo boy lemikne getta. In this situation, the woman can't acquire it when she's standing in the smaller courtyard and she throws it and the get is thrown into the larger courtyard, even though she owns both of them. That's nafkamina number two. Nafkamina number three and number four are going to be in regards to davening. Nafkamina number three, tzibur b'gdola. You have the minyan in the larger courtyard. And the shliach tzibur is standing b'ktana in the smaller courtyard. This, by the way, this scenario came up, if not hundreds, thousands of times during COVID, when you have people trying to make a minyan before we were able to gather together, when people were separated in their houses, they tried, let's say, if they had courtyards near each other, maybe across the street. So can you make a minyan? So the halacha is that in order for there to be a minyan, you have to have 10 men in that same area. How you define that area will depend on a number of situations. Sometimes adjacent courtyards can be considered in the same area, sometimes not. If there's a street passing in between them, if there's a public access in between them, that will usually ruin it. We're not going to go into the halachos of how you define a single entity, but normally it's in a room. So in a shul, normally you have 10 people in the room, so then you can have a minyan. Then even people outside the room can count. Afilu mechitzas shel barzel, even you have an iron curtain, once you have a minyan, the other people that can hear the minyan are all participating. That's how when you have men in the Ezras Anoshim, and you have sometimes some men davening in the Ezras Noshim, so the men that are davening in the Ezras Noshim cannot count towards the minyan. However, once you have 10 in the main shul, so then anybody davening, even in the Ezras Noshim, even if they were outside in the hallway, even if they were in another room, as long as they can hear, so then they can participate in the minyan. So here we have tzibor b'gdola u'shlich tzibor b'ktana. The tzibor, the minyan, you have 10 people in the gdola, but the chazan, who's trying to be motzei them, is in the ktana. So in this situation, because the ketana is considered subsumed by the gdola, and therefore the chazan who's standing in the ketana is halakhically as if he's in the gdola, just like with the woman with the get. When she's standing in the gdola and the get is thrown into the ketana, it's as if she's in the ketana. So to over here, it's as if they're all together. And therefore, yotzi nechavosa, the guy who's leading the tzibur, the chazan, he's able to be motzi them. He says kedusha, they can all answer, no problem. However, if it's the other way around, tzibur b'ktana, if the 10 people, the tzibur, is in the smaller courtyard, u'shliach tzibur b'gdola, and the chazan, he's saying baruch hu in the larger courtyard, they can't answer. And yotzi deichel boson, he's not considered with them. And therefore, the shliach tzibur always has to be in the place where the minyan is. Other people can answer, but the shliach tzibur must be in the place where the minyan is. This is used nafkamina in a number of cases. I just point out, nebuch, in a base avel, sometimes you have to be very careful. You have some people davening in the dining room and some people davening in the living room of the base avel. So if there's a separation between the two, then you actually have 5 people in one room and 5 people in another room. You don't have a minyan. Even though there's 10 people, they all can see each other, they're not considered a minyan. You should have the 10 people in one room, and the shliach tzibur should be davening in that room in order for it to be a good tefillah. That's nafkamina number 3. Nafkamina number 4 is similar. It deals also with minyan. Tisha b'gdola, if you have 9 people in the large one, v'yachi b'ktana, and one of them, the 10th one, is in the smaller courtyard. So we subsume the smaller courtyard into the larger courtyard, and we have a minyan, mitstarfin. We consider them as having a minyan in one place. But if it's the other way around, tisha b'ktana, if 9 people are in the smaller courtyard and one person's in the larger courtyard, v'yachi b'gdola, then we don't have a minyan, a mitstarfin, because they're considered in 2 separate areas. The larger one isn't subsumed by the smaller one, so that guy is standing by himself. If it's the other way around, you have the majority. You have to look with the majority. You can't say the one guy is subsuming the 9 guys in the other room. You have to go where the majority is. So the majority are going to be able to subsume the minority. When you have them in the larger courtyard, they can subsume the minority in the smaller courtyard to them, but not the other way around. When the majority is in the smaller courtyard, they can't subsume the one guy in the larger courtyard. And finally, the fifth and final nafkamina is in regards to saying kriyashma. Now, the halacha is you're not allowed to say kriyashma when you're in the presence of tzoa, of excrement, of a human being, or most types of animals as well. And certainly, if it's foul smelling, you have to be moved away further than the foul smell. Even if you have a distance, it must be that you can't smell it. So here we're talking about when you're not going to be able to smell it, so it's just the distance that we're talking about. So you have tzoa bigdola, you have some excrement in the larger courtyard, then in that situation, also likro kriyashma biktana. If you're in the smaller courtyard, we view that as all within dalet amos of the tzoa, and therefore, since the smaller courtyard is subsumed into being part of the larger courtyard, so then in this situation, the smaller courtyard is not allowed to daven in their kriyashma because you're considered within dalet amos of the tzoa. Vice versa, however, tzoa biktana, if you have excrement in the ktana, and the guy is davening in the gdola, not a problem, because there's a mechitz in between them. Mutar likros kriyashma in the gdola, you're allowed to go and read kriyashma in the larger courtyard, because you have a mechitz separating you from the tzoa, you don't smell the tzoa, some have a problem even if seeing the tzoa, but we'll say right now, you just don't smell the tzoa, and therefore the mechitzah works, even though you may be 2 amas away from it, but you don't smell it, and you have a mechitzah there, so therefore it's acceptable. So these three Amoraim, Rabba Rav Zera and Rabba Bar Rav Chana, they were discussing this scenario, and they brought down these 5 nafkaminas. Now Abaye was sitting nearby, and Amalu Abaye tells them, Im Kain, if basically what you're saying is correct, what you have described now is mechitza le'isser. You have shown us that a mechitza can actually ruin things. This mechitza from the larger one, the gifufe, is ruining things for the people in the smaller courtyard. And therefore, we find that a mechitza ruins things. And normally, mechitzas only are making things better. Shel mali e mechitza, if it wasn't for the fact that there was a mechitza over here, all you'd have to do, in the first case, for example, with the kilayim, is just move the zroim to be more than dalet amos from the vine, and we wouldn't say the whole courtyard is within dalet amos of the vine. All you'd have to do is be marchik dalet amos zoreya. V'ilhashta asura, because of these gifufe, because of the wall between the larger courtyard and the smaller courtyard, it's actually ruining things. The mechitz is making it worse. V'ilhashta asura, it's making it now asur. So you find them, based on what you're saying, you have a mechitza that is coming to be asur something. That's not the normal scenario. A mechitza is usually protective. It doesn't asur it. So that's what Abaye said to them. So Amalei Rabbi Zeira L'Abaye. Rabbi Zeira says to Abaye the following. V'lo motzinu mechitza b'is l'isur? Are you telling me that this is an absolute rule, that a mechitza only helps, it never hurts? I'll show you that a mechitza can hurt as well. V'atnan, our Mishnah. In our case, where the chotzer gedola is breached into the ktana, you have this prutza bimloa from the ktana's point of view, gedola muteris. We said the larger courtyard is able to carry still from their houses into their courtyard, and vice versa, because they made an eruv chatzeros. Uktana sura, but even though the ktana made in eruv chatzeros, they've lost their rights to their courtyard. Bibneshi kepiska shogdola, because from the point of view of the smaller courtyard, it's breached bimloa, it's totally breached, and therefore it's like a pesach to the larger courtyard. Now, if in fact you wanted to change this, all you have to do, and you can see diagrams of this in the art scroll in footnote number 14 in the diagram over there, or you can see this in the Pirush Chai on page 202 in diagram number 52, or you can see this in the illustrated Gemara on page 110 in diagram number 328, and that is, even though the larger courtyard has gifufim, you now carry through the wall of the smaller courtyard and you remove the gifufim by building a wall over there. Now, if you do that, you've essentially created a new mechitza, pilu hishwa as gifufel. If you, via making a mechitza, you got rid of the gifufim, gidolinami asura. Now they're both prutza bimloa, and now not only is the ktana not allowed to use their area because it's prutza bimloa, but by making mechitzos, you've also ruined it for the larger courtyard. So how can you tell me that a mechitza never hurts, it only helps? Here you see that the mechitza hurts. So Abaye tells him, Rav Zeira, you're wrong. Amalei, awesome, see, look, mechitza su. What you've done here is not created a mechitza, you've removed the mechitza. So yes, if you destroy a mechitza, it can make it worse. What you've done is destroyed the gifufim mechitza by creating a mechitza that is bypassing the gifufim and making it all one open area, equally open to the smaller to the larger, larger to the smaller. So what you've done there is removed mechitzos, not created mechitzos, and therefore, yes, I agree with you, if you remove mechitzos, you're going to have problems, and therefore that's not a raya. Gemara tries again. Amalei. Now the Girsa that we have is Rava, but some suggest that really should be Rabba over here because Rabba was one of the three Amoraim. And Tosus in the bottom, Tosus Amalei Rava Labai has a whole discussion about this. But in any event, whoever it was, we'll keep the Girsa that we have. Amalei Rava. Rava tells Abaye the Lo Motzinu Mechitzel Isser again. You're telling me that a mechitza only is lekula, it's never lechumra, it's never going to hurt? I'll show you a case where it hurts. For itmar, but we learned in the following, and we turn to the Yomad Aleph, Tzadi Gimel Yomad Aleph. Sichech al gabe achsadra, if you put schach on top of an achsadra. Again, achsadra is an area that is roofed, but it's open on all four sides. And here we're talking about that you made walls on two sides, two of the lengths, Rashi says. So you have on the left side and the right side, you have a wall, and then you have the schach on the top of it. Now, you can see this in the diagrams on page 110 in the Illustrated Gemara, diagram number 329, and then in a moment we're going to go to diagram number 330. And you can see this in the Pirush Chai in all of the diagrams on page 203, the number of diagrams there. And you can see this in the art scroll adjacent to footnote number 1. So you have this two-sided achsadra that has boards going sheyeshlo patsimim. You have boards that are added to the end of the wall and they come out a little bit from the wall. So you basically then put a bar on top of it and you have enclosed this and it's a perfectly good kosher sukkah. As Rashi says, the definition of sukkah is that you have two walls and at least a tefach on the third wall. So here you have that. The diagram that we have in an actual Gemara in the Rashi is a little bit difficult to understand. I would suggest follow one of the other three diagrams that I just mentioned to you from either the art scroll at the bottom or the Pirush Chai or the Illustrated Gemara. In any event, what you have over here is a perfectly good sukkah. You put the schach on the top, you have to put the walls up first, then you put the schach on, shera. However, we're trying to prove, Rav is going to say, I'll show you that a mechitza can make things worse. V'ilu hishva patzimea, if you go and get rid of the extended part out of the pitsamim, of these boards that you have, and you even it out, and again, you can see this clearly in art scroll next to footnote number 2, and in the next illustrations in both the Pirush Chai and in the Illustrated Gemara. So in this situation, you've ruined that third wall by bringing out a new mechitza. And therefore, here's another example. Bilu hishva patzina psula, you've ruined it. And guess what? Abai says the same teretz that he gave to Reb Zera. He says to Rav or Rabba, Amalei Abai, no. Lididi kshera, according to me, it's still perfectly good. Rashi explains in Dibra Masa Lididi kshera, did pligi aloch boha milsu lekam and bepirkin. I'm going to argue with you in 2 days from now in Daf Tzadi Hei. We're going to argue over there, dafilu ein lo shum mechitza, even if there's no mechitza on the third wall. Right? Here we had a mechitza of one tefach, which we've now taken away. So according to me, it's not a problem because I hold P. Tikri Yorv is so same. It's a flat-edged wall, a flat-edged top, the beam on the top, the korah on the top, therefore it's a flat edge, and it goes straight down. And it encloses the third and even the fourth wall on the other side. And therefore, according to me, P. Tikri Yorv is so same is a perfectly good way to make this a kosher sukkah. But according to you, Lididach, that we don't say pi tikra yori v'sosim, so then you're saying that you've lost the wall. No, the mechitza hasn't caused you to lose the wall. You've destroyed the mechitza that was there previously. See, look, mechitza, see, same teretz as he gave to Rav Zera. You've removed the mechitza, not that you've created a mechitza. You're putting up the new mechitza has destroyed the old mechitza, and that's why it's no good. So we try again. Now we have the third of the Amoraim, Rabba Bar Rav Chanan, he asks Abaye, Amalei Rabba Bar Rav Chanan li Abaye, are you telling me mechitzas are only to help you and never to hurt you? We don't find that a mechitza can make things worse. But Tanya, I show you this brisa that deals with kilaya kerem. The brisa tells us bayis shechetzio mekura, shechetzio ena mekura. If you have a house that is half covered up with a roof and half of it's not covered up with a roof, again, you can see this in the art scroll in next to footnote number 4. You can also see this in the Pirush Chai in page 204, first in diagram number 57, and then in diagram number 58. The Illustrated Gemara doesn't have a diagram here. In any event, this question that Rabbi Baruch Hanan says to Abaye, If you have a bayis, shechetzio of makura, v'chetzio en makura, you have this house that has a roof on half of it, and the other half doesn't have a roof. So we say, pi tikra yor v'sosim, and if you have gifonim kan, and if you have a vine underneath the roofed part, let's say, then under the unroofed part, mutal is raw kan. You'd be allowed to go and plant vegetables there because we have pi tikra yor v'sosim separating the two, and it's not considered kilayim if there's a mechitza. But if you then extend the roof, if you extend the roof over the area that we now had planted the vegetables, so by adding a mechitza, usher, you've actually ruined it. So how can you tell me we don't find the mechitza that's usher, here you find the mechitza that's usher? So again, Abai gives the exact same terex. He says, no, you're not having the mechitza create the isser. The mechitza is destroying the old mechitza. Amalei hasam sila mechitzasu. You've essentially ruined the pitik riyar v'sosim, and that's why it's not considered good over here. We're still going to have more about this discussion tomorrow, but this is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.